Okay, so we're trying to figure out what Tashbisu is and how it fits in. So we explained yesterday that just in terms of what Tashbisu practically is, that is a significant machlokus in Rishonim, that a number of Rishonim understood Tashbisu to be identical to Bittul. Unklus's translation in Chumash translates it that way. And Rashi on our Daf and Galim Bey says that the Torah doesn't mean necessarily destroy. It means hashbasa b'leiv, and therefore is all wrapped into one. Bittul is hashbasa b'leiv, and that's what tashbisu means. The Rambam might be identical to that position, except that one nusach that we have, the Rambam says it only works for chametz she'eno yadua. But chametz yadua, that actually does have to be destroyed. And if that's the case, how could it be that one pasuk in Chumash is being interpreted in different ways? Because the Mishnah says, because it's an example of Maser HaKasuv L'Chachamim, that here the Torah gave the authority over to the rabbis to determine what to do, but it can therefore still be a Din HaTorah with applications that shift depending on the circumstances. But the Kesef Mishnah doesn't like that. And so anyway, he thinks that it applies, according to the Rambam, to all chametz, and that, therefore, Bittul is the full kiyum of what Tashbisu is. According to the Ran, Min HaTorah, Tashbisu could have been either Bittul or Bedika and Beer, and Midrabanan, we require it to be the combination of the two. And according to Tosus, Bittul is something else, and it's also not what Tashbisu is. That Tashbisu is the destruction of Chametz, and Bittul is Hefker. So step one is that question, just what exactly do we mean when we talk about Hashbasa? What does it involve? Also have to try to figure out that if we say that Tashbisu does mean destroying Chametz, or if we say there is an obligation of Bir Chametz Min HaTorah, even if it's something separate from Tashbisu, so where do you find that in the Chumash? In other words, where do you either find a clue that that's how to interpret Tashbisu, or where do you find that there is a separate obligation to destroy Chametz? Any thoughts about that? How you could read the Psukim to clue you into the fact that there is some actual destruction of chametz involved? Yeah, Ari?
The Torah clearly says that we're against chametz, and then if you eat it on Pesach, you get kares, and you could say that the Torah is mandating when it says hashbisu. That's the way that you distance yourself from the eating process is by like physical destruction of the chametz or removing it such that it's destroyed with respect to you and your involvement with it.
Well, I think you're, though, explaining why, if we knew that that was the din, why that would be the din. But how do we know from the Torah that that is the din in the first place? Akiva?
I mean, the pasuk says, lo tishkatu Pesach, when the chametz is chayim. And so, evidently, the chametz can't be existing.
Or it might just mean that you shouldn't own chametz. So it's not clear that per se tells us that. But what some point to is the fact that we find language of mikol moshvoseichem, mibateichem, that it's apparently more than just disconnecting yourself from it, but that it shouldn't be in your households. So if it shouldn't be in your residences, it kind of sounds like it should be actively destroyed. So, yeah, Danielle?
I mean, I don't know how good of a raya that is, because the pasuk only says, lo yimaseh b'vateichem. But first of all, b'vateichem doesn't really mean anything, because that could just mean it can't be in your house. But and moshvoseichem, that the pasuk is referring to lo tocheilu b'chol moshvoseichem. It has nothing to do with actually finding chametz in your house, in your moshav.
So you're saying it's not muchrach that has to do with the existence of the chametz.
Right.
Okay. I hear it. Point well taken. So what we started to set up yesterday is was a somewhat complicated structure, just of the Tamei Mitzvos here. But the Tamei Mitzvos, I think, is deeply embedded in understanding what's going on. So essentially, just to say it in a very short form, what we saw yesterday was basically two directions you could go in with the Yisr Chameis and Tashbisu, and I would add in a third, and it would give us basically kind of three possibilities how to understand halachically and lamdish-wise the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So one is to say everything here is about a positive value. It's about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, which matzah represents. So because we want to strengthen that message, which all comes from matzah good, so matzah good, chametz bad because it's not matzah, and chametz is so bad that we should actively get rid of it. But it all starts from that point. Matzah good, eat matzah only, don't eat chametz, don't even have chametz, destroy it. But it's all a chizuk, and all an enforcement of that original premise that matzah is good. Or we could come from the other direction and say chametz is bad, and chametz represents the Eisahara, and represents maybe a Vodazara. And like the Radbaz said, chametz should always be off limits, and the Torah had Rachmanas on our digestive systems and limited it to just 1 week a year, but really chametz is always bad. And therefore, don't have any, and even destroy it. So those two directions, I think, give us two or possibly three ways to understand the mentality behind Tashbisu. Is Tashbisu a positive act because it is a reinforcement of the message of Masa? It's an active statement against Chametz and therefore pro-Masa? Is it basically the other extreme? There's nothing really positive about it. It just refers to the absence of chametz. Chametz is bad. And this is just a positive statement reinforcing the idea of no chametz. Or together on that side of the fence, but a third way, should we say that it's all about chametz bad? But chametz bad doesn't only mean avoid chametz, but for whatever reason, maybe because chametz represents the Eitzahara, the Torah also tells us that we have to actively confront it and destroy it. And that we don't only want to avoid the fight, we want to actively combat the Eitzahara. So, number one, follow basically three models. Either Tashbisu is an active, affirmative ideal, or it's basically just avoiding chametz to more of a passive state. And the third version is that even avoiding chametz could still take an active form, that's not just enough to avoid chametz, we have to fight chametz. So to sum up, the three versions are support matzah, avoid chametz, or fight chametz. Does everyone follow? Make sense? So what is the thrust of Tashbisu? So this is a question which has been discussed throughout the ages. But perhaps most prominently, it was associated with the Menchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Tes brings up this question. How should we relate to the Mitzvah of Tashbisu? Is it something that the Torah wants us to do as an affirmative Mitzvah? Or is it just a way of saying don't have chametz? And if you have chametz, get rid of it. But really, it's all about just not having chametz. Just as somebody brought up yesterday, the comparison, it was Zach brought up yesterday, the comparison to Shabbos, the same word. And so we know that we are Shomer Shabbos by abstaining from Melacha on Shabbos. We don't have a requirement that we should actually find some Melacha to do right before Shabbos so that we can actively abandon it or put it to rest right before Shabbos. We don't see it as that kind of a mitzvah. So just like Shabbos means I should not be involved with work at that time, so maybe Tashbisu also means I should not have chametz on Pesach. And if I never had it in the first place and it doesn't involve me doing anything, that's over my mind. So this is one question to put out there. And it will have a number of possible ramifications. But one of the ramifications would be when the Gemara on our daf now, on daf hey that we've moved to, when the Gemara identifies the time for Tashbisu as the middle of the day on Erev Pesach, is that when the mitzvah should happen? Or is it a deadline? That is the idea that you need to have done it by then and enter into that time in a chametzil state, in a non-chametz state? Or is there dafka something to do at that moment? And maybe we would go as far as to say that if I didn't have chametz, I should acquire some so that I can destroy it at the time of Tashbis. So that's how the Mechatzino frames the question. Right? Should we say that when that clock strikes Tashbisu time, if you are without chametz, then that's the best you could ever ask for? Or should we say more than that, that you require, or there's some Indian to actually have chametz there at that time in order to fulfill Tashbisu? This question, we know that nowadays, what do we do? So if you try to answer the question from practice, right, so perhaps what you're most familiar with is that Bedikas chametz the night before, so we found all the chametz that we set out beforehand, the 10 crumbs, and we bring them with the next morning, and to some kind of beer, whether it's a public or a private. This year, because of the circumstance, so there was much less actual beer in the sense of fire happening, and that's something we'll talk about also. But let's say maybe in previous years, maybe that's your experience, that at that time on Erev Pesach in the late morning, we would burn the chametz that was found the night before. So perhaps that gives the impression that, okay, that's what you got to do. It's not enough that I've done all my cleaning by now and I've done all my elimination of chametz, but at this time, specifically, there is a mitzvah of beer. And perhaps our practice indicates that. But it's not really clear that we do that as an actual chiyuv. The crumbs themselves, we spoke a little bit about why that is, that it seems to connect to the bracha and the process of bedikas chametz. So whether there's really a obligation, it's really an inyan to have chametz that you hold on to until that time for the purpose of destroying it, that's a part of what this question is. So for those of you who had a chance to see the Ma'arik, The Marik in his tshuva, he, the end of Kuf Ayin Dalet, so he basically takes a stand on this and he says that all Tashbisu requires is that you shouldn't have chametz come Pesach time. And if somebody actually doesn't have chametz, then ein lecha hashpasa gedola mizu. So there's no better hashpasa you can do than just being without chametz when that time comes. And the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he discusses this marik. And the way he explains it a little differently than in the Chassinah, says he thinks that nobody would really suggest that somebody who doesn't have chametz on Erev Pesach should actually acquire chametz in order to be able to do this. He thinks even the vision of Tashbisu as a positive, affirmative mitzvah wouldn't require you to actually obtain chametz for this purpose. Says rather, maybe it's comparable to the mitzvah of tzitzis. If somebody has a four-cornered garment, so then he has a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. And if he doesn't, then he's just not shaykh to that mitzvah. That mitzvah doesn't necessarily require you to put yourself in the situation. Nowadays we do that as a minig. But the mitzvah doesn't require you to do this. But if you have the circumstances, then the mitzvah applies. And if it doesn't, the mitzvah is not just relevant to you. So that's the way the Avnei Nezer understands it. It's the way the Marik sounds, that the kiyum of Tashbisu, really you could say it a few ways. You could say that not having chametz is a kiyum of Tashbisu. Or, that's what the Avnei Nezer is explaining, is that maybe it isn't. Maybe Tashbisu only really applies if you're actually destroying chametz. But still, that doesn't mean that you should seek out chametz to have so you can destroy it. Or acquire chametz. You should seek it out to destroy the chametz that you already have. But to seek out new chametz so that you can destroy it, we wouldn't go that far. We would just say, Tashbisu wouldn't apply to you if that's what it means. So this question has a number of possible practical ramifications. But first, just to throw into the mix, there are two existing issues about Tashbisu which may reflect on this. And they are both brought up in the Chidushim of Reb Chaim Brisker on the Rambam, and by others, and without going into all the back and forth about how he discusses it, but just to at least make you aware of what the two issues are. So one question is, does Tashbisu have any specific form? Is there a required way to do Tashbisu? Even if we say that it's more than bittul, let's say we assume that it really means beer, really means getting rid of it. But is there a specific way that we have to get rid of chametz? What would you say to that? So it's a machlokes, right? It's a machlokes in the Mishnah, and Daf Chaf Aleph, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein bir chametz ella bisreifa. That to fulfill bir chametz, it has to davka be burnt. And according to Chachamim, hashpasaso b'chol davar. You can destroy it in any way, which has a number of practical ramifications. So as I mentioned last year, so there was a safety concern regarding fire. So we didn't find Sreifas Chametz happening in the same way in most places. And I believe this year also is going to be a, God willing, pandemic should be in a very different place, if at all. But let's hope. But for other reasons, I believe this year is the Erev Pesach Shlichah Leilos B'Shabbos, right? If I'm not mistaken. So there's going to be a lot of fascinating. It's really a very interesting, relatively rare phenomena. So the idea of Erev Pesach Shlichah Leilos B'Shabbos has all kinds of interesting halachic impacts. But a part of it, the question is, if Erev Pesach is when you do your Tashbisu, and if Tashbisu is indeed supposed to be Betreifa, so what do you do about that? So that's something we will talk about a little bit more. But the way it seems to present itself, as Reb Chaim considers it and others consider it, that it sounds like, how would you interpret this machloka Tashbisasa b'chol davar or Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa in light of what we've said so far? Yeah, Menachem?
Could it be about reinforcing the mind to the bittul and how and the way to reinforce it, whether it requires this burning, or can you reinforce it through other means?
Okay, but why? What's driving that question? Even if it is about bittul and not, Daniel?
I would say that if the mitzvah is about doing the act of tashbisu,
mm-hmm.
doing it in itself as the mitzvah, there might be a very specific way in which you have to do it, being burning.
Without
any rid of your chametz, and that's the extent, and this is the extension of that, then it doesn't really matter how you do it. You could do it in any way as long as the chametz is no longer there.
Okay, that seems to be the case, right? It seems to be that if tashbisu is just saying ba'yira ba'yimatze, and if you have it, unhave it, tashbisu it, so then if it's all just there so that we remember ba'yira ba'yimatze, so then it shouldn't matter how you do it. At the end of the day, you destroy chametz as creatively as you can come up with. That will still be a fulfillment of Tashbisu. To say that there is a specific format that it has to take on, that seems to be telling us that there is some affirmative value of Tashbisu. That Tashbisu is not just about the absence of chametz, but that the Torah is actually requiring us to do something specific to the chametz. So that's an important question. And we'll say more about that. And also consider the question of whether other forms, especially under these circumstances that we've talked about, could also suffice to be a fulfillment of Tashbis. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of literature about this, including the question of whether putting chametz in a garbage can would be a fulfillment of Tashbisu, and also whether selling chametz is a fulfillment of Tashbisu. Okay, sorry. Another background issue that Reb Chaim talks about is we have a category in the laws of Malkus, right? What averus do you get Malkus for? So we know that the rule is that you get Malkus for every single avera in the Torah, every single avera in the Torah without exception, with the exception of many, many exceptions. Right, if you ever learn Maseches Makos, you see there are a lot of categories of Lavin where you don't have Malkus associated with it. So one of the categories is a Lav Hanitak Lase. That if you have a prohibition that is connected to a positive mitzvah. In the sense that the positive mitzvah cleans up the mess. So where the Torah is basically saying, don't do this aveira, and if you do it, here's how you fix it. Here's how you get out of it. So that's called a lav hanita klase. So is bal yirah and / or bal yimotze, do you find there a lav hanita klase? Why? Why might it be? Because perhaps you have the prohibition of owning chametz, but you can fix that prohibition by destroying the chametz. So perhaps that question impacts on what we're trying to understand here. Does tashbisu really come just to repair Bayira Bayimatze before or afterwards? You know, proactively or after it's already taken place? Or should we say that no, it's true that thematically it's an anti-chametz mitzvah, but it's not there to clean up the mess of the aveira of eating chametz, or of having chametz. It's independent. It happens to also do that. But perhaps you shouldn't call it a lav hanita klase, because that's not its main purpose. It's not there for that purpose of undoing an aveira of bayira bayimatze. So here, it's somewhat complicated. Because the Gemara does sound like it is, and I'll give this Gemara to look at tomorrow. Gemara Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. It does sound like there, like we're dealing with a lav hanita klase. And that's the way Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz writes and others write. But the problem is the Rambam, as Reb Chaim discussed. That the Rambam says that somebody who has chametz on Pesach, has in the sense of owns, not has in the sense of eats, but somebody who's in possession of chametz on Pesach is not subject to an onesh of malchus. Why not? Right? It's a lot. Right? So according to the Rambam, why are you not chayiv malchus for owning chametz on Pesach? If you're in violation of a lav? Yeah, Daniel?
Lav Shein Bo Maisa.
Oh, so that's his position, that it's the lav Shein Bo Maisa, right? Meaning that there isn't any physical act that is connected with this aveira in its normal form. Right? There are exceptions, as he says, that if on Pesach you would decide to go to a bakery and purchase chametz, very odd decision. But if you would do that, so then that could be a different story. Or if you would bake chametz on Pesach and put yourself in possession of it, so then that could be a different story. But the default common violation of Bayira Bayimase is through just failing to get rid of it. So you happen to just own it over the course of Pesach. So says the Rambam, that you're not going to be chayiv malchus for because it is a lav shein bo maisa. So asks Reb Chaim and others, why don't we just say it's a lav hanita klase, like it sounds like from the Gemara? So it sounds like from that, that the Rambam is perhaps taking the position that it's actually not a lav hanita klase. That it's not about tashbisu for the sake of undoing Vayira Vayimase, but rather it's a mitzvah in of itself. And it's not just for that purpose. So those are among the points that Reb Chaim discusses. So if you want to say, to go back to the Mechas Chinuch now, if you want to say the question of, is Tashbisu about simply not having chametz, and then you're in full fulfillment, or is it about some specific mitzvah of destroying it? Did anybody have a question about that?
Yeah, are we talking specifically if you find chametz on Pesach, that you have the option to classic?
That you have, well, that's what it sounds like, right? Because even though the ideal form for Tashbisu is before, which is a part of what maybe provokes the question.
So I would answer for the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he says it's Lashem Lamaisa and not Lashem Yitzhak is because he makes a very strong emphasis on the fact that once the Chametz is on Pesach, you can no longer have that mouth from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're getting an assay out of it, then you might consider that to be some sort of hana, especially if it prevents getting tested. So when I check it out, if you just say that it's a lashon b'maisa, then you don't have that issue.
You say that the kiyum of assay is counted as a hana?
Right. Could be.
Well, we normally say mitzvah is lav lahenis nidna. I mean, it could be that also. It could be both.
Right.
Right. It's also an interesting conceptual question that it could be split another way. It could be just like it's sometimes Lav Shem B'maisa, sometimes it's not. Maybe it also is sometimes Nitzak Lase, sometimes it's not. That maybe Balira Balimase is correctable through a Tashbisu after the fact. But we do Tashbisu before the fact. So does that affect its whole status as a Lav Hanita Glase? Is it possible, even though, yes, clearly, it could stop you from continued violation of Vayira Vayimase. But it's not necessarily there for that purpose.
Maybe when the Pasuk says Vayom Harisho, and then specifically Vayom Harisho.
And how that impacts us.
Because then if you do it on any other day of Pesach, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. There's no assay.
Ah. Okay. So we'll have to expand on this marsh in a few more minutes, but just try to give me some suggestions here. If you say that it's an affirmative mitzvah rather than just the absence of chametz, so how might that affect things practically? Ari?
I think we saw that there were a couple of nafkaminas, whether you need kavana for doing it.
Okay. You saw because you read the Mechas Chinuch, I mean? Right, so Mechas Chinuch, he talks about a number of nafkaminas, right? So one question is, yeah, is there any issue of kavana here? Is this something which has positive religious value, and therefore it's important for you to connect to that mentally in order for it to have that value? Or is it just about keeping your house free of non-kosher for that week food? And you wouldn't say that choosing to not buy pork or to throw it out if it actually gets into your shopping bag, that requires particular mitzvah focus. It's just about its practical goal. So kavana is one possible nafkamina. What else?
Also, there was a really funny nafkamina about what if you perform tashbisu by eating
it? By eating it.
Is that a mitzvah b'avera? That doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, when you said funny, I knew right away which one you were going to. Right, this is at least a little bit of a Reblavi Yitzchak or Berdichev approach. Right, imagine after 120 years, you're up in Shemayim, and you're on trial for your life, and Kategor says, this guy was horrible, he did everything wrong, he even ate chametz on Pesach. And then on the other side, the defense attorney is Reblavi Yitzchak or Berdichev, and he says, look, they're here, we can choose, yes, even when they eat chametz on Pesach, at least he's doing the mitzvah, he's doing tashbisu. So would you credit him with at least the tashbisu? Or would you say, no, you can't score a mitzvah point through an avera, and therefore to say that, well, at least I got the mitzvah of tashbisu through doing this, sounds a little funny. But truth doesn't sound funny either way. Because if the point of tashbisu is not to have chametz, which is the point of that, is not to eat chametz, so it would seem to be pretty counterproductive to try to accomplish it through eating the chametz. But I guess maybe we shouldn't be surprised, to be so surprised, we've probably done more counterproductive things in our lives. So what other possible ramifications could it have? Oh, Zach, was that a hand?
Yeah, I think it was kind of something about women being high
up. Oh, right.
Than they would be.
Correct. So where do women fit in this mitzvah? All right, so do we assume it's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama? Right, this positive mitzvah is tied down to a specific time? Or do we say that, no, it's not a positive mitzvah. For sure, Vayirah, Vayimaseh, they're obligated in. And this is just the support for Vayirah, Vayimaseh. Now, you might say, well, all right, but who cares? It's still the same thing. Women have to not own chametz on Pesach one way or another. So, as we'll discuss, we'll fill in a little bit more, it's not exactly the same thing. There might be certain practicalities of the halacha that emanate specifically from the mitzvah of tashbisu. And we'll throw in one more possible nafkamina that the Mishnah Tzinuch mentions, that if somebody steals your opportunity, you're about to destroy your chametz and somebody jumps up with a flamethrower and destroys it for you. So, first of all, I would be pretty afraid of that guy in the future for lots of reasons. But, in addition, he may owe you 10 gold coins, as far as a hoven, because the Gemara says if somebody steals your mitzvah, they have to pay you as far as a hoven. So, who's right here? Will you say, you stole my mitzvah, you owe me? Or can he say, what do you mean stole your mitzvah? You just had an obligation not to have chametz. I made your mitzvah. I saved you from having chametz. You're welcome. So that's also a question. So we'll pick up from this tomorrow and say a little bit more about this. But all of this all goes to these core conceptual points that we started with, the Tamei Mitzvah point. What exactly is the nature of Tashbisu? And where does it end up playing out? So just, well, I guess we'll up short time, so we'll recap tomorrow, and we'll take it from there. All right, I wish you all a wonderful Yom Shuch Bulubo Kol Tov. You should have a great Tuesday, and I look forward to seeing you, God willing, tomorrow. All right,
thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Yashukach.